Plotter, panster, puzzler, or muse muffin? What do these mean? How do you choose? Maybe this episode can help. Welcome to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, headed up by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Runes, all from Writers Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found on therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. We're bookcasting with Think Like a Pro by M.A. Lee, copyright 2017, revised 2018. Today, we finish chapter 3 after 4 other episodes on plot, 2 episodes on the 7 types of plot, and 2 episodes on 6 plotting methods. Our route focus today is not craft, it's process. Are you a plotter who wants to consider? Are you a panster thinking that plotting would speed up the draft or eliminate the revision stage, going straight to editing? Have you heard people claim to be a puzzler? Maybe you've heard someone at a seminar say, "Muse muffin." We explore all 4 today, muse muffin and puzzler in brief, plotter and panster in depth. Here we go into the first question posed by writers, should I or shouldn't I? Should I just launch into writing and see where it takes me? Or should I plot out every scene and sequel, checking all the boxes? Should I let the ideas flow onto the keyboard with no idea what I'm thinking or where the story's heading? Turn off old logical and embrace creative inspiration? Or should I decide which story genre is making the most money and then look at the characters that readers chatter about? From that, I can craft a story step by step, hitting all the tropes and placing all my pinch points at the appropriate percentage markers in the novel. Ick. Just ick for both of them. Why for which? No discussion of plot is complete unless we also talk about these 2 diametrically opposed methods of approaching story, plotting and panstering. Pantsters fly by the seat of their pants. Plotters work everything out beforehand. There, that's enough, isn't it? I wish. For pastors, the mess comes at the end of writing, when they have to make sense of the jumble that poured onto the page. For plotters, the mess comes at the beginning, when they have to make sense of the entire story before they work everything onto the page. Pastors do a lot of free writing and call it chapter development. It's not. Plotters fill out a lot of templates and call it chapter development. It's not. The best plot structures recreate a river's flow. Nothing is a steady current, not even a river in flood. The mainstream rushes along until it encounters a boulder or a bend. These obstructions create swirls, eddies along the banks. The current shifts, dredging deep or gushing freely. The river spews out at its end like the great overflowing Mississippi, whose flood-brown waters pour into the Gulf of Mexico, identifiable miles after the river itself has ended. This is the reason I despise Freytag's Pyramid and design my plots with the archetypal story pattern, starting with the plot 7. You can use various plotting methods, the snowflake method or James Scott Bell's superstructure. I spent a few years as a panster, embarking on a story with little more than a character and an idea. That's very seductive. I spent a few years as a plotter. Structuring a story around the plot points sped up my drafting process, and the flailing around for inspirational creativity vanished. Writers can make money constructing stories one after another based on the lockstep pattern. They're easy, quick, safe. Measure in 2 characters, so very like previous characters. Add these tropes with a dash of different spices. Bake at 350 for 45 minutes, and you have a lovely cake. Oops, I meant story. When we boil down to its essentials, all stories are the same. It's the details that get shuffled around. Such tightly controlled stories that follow obvious patterns can be very comforting to readers who need to escape the stress of work or hectic family lives. I've read a lot of these, whether in the form of category romances or cozy mysteries or Shakespearean tragedies or modern meaninglessness. The latter 2, as have-tos during my career. It's actually easier to read modern meaninglessness than an Agatha Christie. She hides her clues better than they do. Yes, I'm being snarky. Plots are actually designed. Every design has a foundation. Look upon plot as the foundation of your story. Are you going all glass modern or turreted Victorian? Gingerbread cottage or federal style? Big city brownstone a white-painted farmhouse, urban loft, a southwest adobe. No matter which style, the building has a foundation, subfloor, walls, ceilings, stairways, windows, doors, cabinetry, flooring, carpet and wood, vinyl and tile, brick and slate. Design the main events of your story based on a worthy plot structure, and the details fall into place. And it's the details where creativity lies. A pantster is a writer who launches into story without any planning. Here's how pantsters operate. A situation sparks, a character intrigues, so they launch into the story with no idea where it's going. Dean Wesley Smith, who I have mentioned before, is an advocate of pantstering. He calls this method writing into the dark. Writing without knowing where the story is going opens up the creative, intuitive side of the brain. It prevents the lockstep story that leads to so many books being just alike without changes. Pantsters balance serendipitous inspiration with writing themselves into corners, with protagonists who refuse to behave, and minor characters who take over stories. This is good. This is bad. And this can be very bad. The good side of pantstering? It unlocks creativity. We spend much of our lives letting our analytical side control us. Our dreams, especially the weird ones with upside-down yellow airplanes, half reality and half impossibility, those dreams may be the only time we let the symbolic side talk to us. The bad side of pantstering? It locks up our writing. Once we start waiting on the creative spark or kindled inspiration or the muse of fire, as Shakespeare said in Henry V, we start locking up words and rarely get anything actually written. We wind up with lots of ideas that have lost their fires and never become finished stories. That's the number one error of people waiting on inspiration. Each sentence has to be perfect. No, it doesn't have to be perfect. Thinking a sentence or a page or a scene has to be perfect is wrong. Just move on. We should know the number one certainty for today and all time. Writers rewrite. The horrific side of pantstering? No, it's not corners and behavior problems and juggernauts. Each one of those teaches us about our stories. Corners and behavior problems and juggernauts are actually good things. When you write yourself into a corner, go back about 10 or 20 or even 50 pages and discover where things went wrong and why they went wrong, how to work around the corner or blast through it, or when to trash those pages and continue anew. Follow the same process for misbehaving protagonists and dominating walk-ons. And don't miss the why they went wrong. This is powerful. The reason events and characters become uncontrollable is because they need to be doing something other than what you've written. So if story problems aren't the horror of pantstering, what is? Oh, it's the out-of-control story. Action after action, angst after angst, a story that goes nowhere or keeps on going or is scattered all over the place. While my dream is to one day meander along real and true literal backroads with no destination in mind, my intention is to reach a good or worthy destination. Half impossibility, half reality. Why are we writing? To tell a story. Stories have ends, with lessons attached, just like Aesop's fables. Our lessons, though, are usually hidden, unless you're writing literary fiction. To please yourself? Is that why you're writing? Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming, flowing with the current, aiming for anything that catches your eye and distracts you. Being a plotter on plot, that sounds like a drug, doesn't it? Sounds like plotter, doesn't it? This is the charge that is often leveled by pantsters against plotters, the bullies, both of them. Plot is robotic. Plot is boring. Plot kills my creativity. Yes, maybe, no. Plot, whichever of the six methods is used, creates a rhythm in the story. Pacing, timing, flows. This is what you want for your story, correct? For readers to remember it long after they've closed your book and gone about the rest of their lives. Pleasure abounds in the draft when writers know what needs to happen and when. Meet a mentor here, get a reward there, face returned evil over there. That's three of the 12 stages of the archetypal story pattern. Simple plot is not. Plotters balance structured events with strong character development, antagonists who never surprise with their evil, and a bit of boredom for knowing what's next. This is good. This can be bad, and it can be very bad. The good side of plotting? The writer knows what's next. Writing downtime rarely occurs. With a good outline, time spent writing is merely turning ideas into sentences and paragraphs and chapters. The project gradually turns into a book. When it's done, no drastic revision is necessary when you're plotting. Finding the story in an erratic jumble of scenes, which happens with pantsering, isn't necessary. The story has unfolded in a logical manner. A little cleanup is all that's needed. The bad side of plotting? We writers developed all these details of a backstory and character personality, especially the protagonist and antagonist, and we want to see everything we did land on the page. That, however, would be fatal. Info dump can kill a story. As soon as we stop showing and cheat by telling, we lose our readers. We want everyone to see how much work we've done. We forget that our job is to entertain and not to exhibit the labor of the storytelling. The horrific side of plotting? Ennui, with a story we need to unfold. Boredom is a story killer. We know everything. We follow our plot lockstep and never meander down any side trails that aren't in the outline. We may have a flash of inspiration, but it disrupts so many things that we just let that creative dash go. The worst horror of all, we grow to hate our perfectly plotted and so well-developed story and never finish it. What's a pebbler? Well, it's a panster on plot. Sounds like another drug, doesn't it? Puzzlers write certain scenes as a panster, then write more scenes that fill out their plot method. That's being a plotter. Then they write what's missing, here and there and throughout. Then they write sequels and descriptions and enhancements, filling in the jigsaw puzzle of the story. They keep dipping into the story to do all this. Puzzlers are both panster and plotter. What about Muse Muffin? Those are writers waiting on inspiration, panstering the next scene after they plot out what needs to occur. See, panster, plotter again. The problem with Muse Muffins is that a Muse Muffin wants to wait on inspiration. They don't have deadlines. They don't have daily writing. They're just musing along, writing when the mood strikes them. Whichever method you adhere to, Muse Muffin, Puzzler, Panster, Plotter, stop it now. The great crime of all methods is the same, the unfinished story. Here's the surprise. Whichever one you are, pantsters need plotting, and plotters need panstering. Pantsters need to consider structure, and plotters need a spark of that creative dash. We have to cross the dividing line between the two of them. Our stories are enriched when we bring the best of both sides into harmony. The 3 sevens for dreaming a story into reality in chapter 1 develop a creative plot. The plot 7, the 7 characters, and the 7 work processes. Remember those? Oh, the slugfest that is the first draft still remains. No matter what we do, with every manuscript, that devious first draft will try to conquer us. We can't let it. We will not let it. Plot the book. Develop the characters. While we're writing, whenever we find a Pied Piper, we need to follow it. Oh, sure, we may need to gut some carefully plotted scenes. Sometimes that Pied Piper sounds pretty, but it's a little off tune. Yet we should follow that piping song. It keeps the writing fresh and keeps us enchanted with our story. So, that's plot. 7 types to guide the story, 6 methods to structure the story, and 4 procedures that you can follow. Plotter, panster, puzzler, or Muse Muffin. I'd say follow whatever plotting method you want, except I don't want you to be a Muse Muffin. Muffins can have dried up creativity. It crumbles away. Just like real muffins, you have to add things to avoid the dryness. Next week, we look at Aristotle on characters. We've had 5 episodes on plot. We should have quite a number on characters as well. Why pick Aristotle when he's 2,500 years old? What he developed based on what was successful at his time is still successful today, and we still use his methods. We just call them different things. Until the next episode, write on.